It is such a blessing to be here on this Lord's Day. But we also know that tomorrow is another special day. Not near as special as our Lord's Day, of course, but it is Memorial Day. And certainly we want to remember all of those men and women who paid the ultimate price. And we certainly still appreciate all those who have served and are continuing to serve, but remember the opportunities we have. Remember the freedoms we have. Remember that those all came with a price, much like our own faith, our own salvation. It came with the ultimate price, as Dale reminded us of, the gift of Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about Him being our life. But before I get into that, I do have some exciting news to tell you today. We have in our number a couple, a husband and a wife, who are expecting their second baby. So I always give you a minute to think about that. They have one. So, if you guessed, where's Caroline? Caroline's heart. Hey, Caroline, I heard you're going to be a big sister. So congratulations to Brad and Amy and Caroline. That's exciting news. Somebody said, as long as we keep having babies, we'll keep growing. And so thank y'all for your contribution to the growth of the church. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read together verses 1 through 6. Those of you who may be visiting today, because it is a holiday, a couple weeks ago, say Mother's Day, we had an aside in there. We talked about mothers on that day. But a few weeks ago, we started a series of sermons on the book of Ephesians. I think the book of Ephesians is such a fascinating book because Paul, again, it's one of the epistles that he helped establish that church. He wrote to that church. He loved that church. Now, we also learn in Revelation that church ultimately leaves its first love. So we have to be very careful. But there's just so many profound points and things in this book of Ephesians. And a lot of them happen to be prayers. Prayers of Paul that he is recording as well. But today, we're going to be in Ephesians 2. We talked about chapter 1 the last couple times. But today we're going to start in chapter 2. Let's look at verses 1 through 6. Paul writes, "And you, He, God, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's very key to our study today. But as we read through that, and you hear that Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, he's talking about Christians in general who were once dead in sin, dead in trespasses. They were once lost, but God made them whole. He brought them together, and He did it through the life of Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus was God in the flesh. He was He's part of the Trinity. He was there in the beginning when man was created. We'll talk more about that. But at the moment when God said, okay, it's time, He came to earth. He was born a baby. He grew up 30 years old. He began His public ministry. 3 short years later, He died what is known as the cruelest death He could die. He was put into a grave dead, but He came out alive. And because of that, and nothing else, God's amazing grace and His gift of His Son, today we can stand whole. And because of that, we need to ask a question. And you need to be honest with yourself, is Jesus your life? Is He your life? Or is Jesus just part of your life? You see, I think it's a very deep question. I think it's a very fair question, and I think it's a very important question. Today, as I sit, or I stand, or I'm here, or I'm watching, is Jesus my whole life? Or today, is Jesus just part of my life? You see, Paul wrote there, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That phrase right there, in Christ Jesus, reminds us that we can't do anything we're doing spiritually without Him. We talked about no other name, right? We looked at that Wednesday. There's no other name by which we can be saved. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. So the question today is this. Is He your life or is He just part of it? You see, Christ brought us into, God brought us into the life of Christ, even when we were dead. So this question is a question we need to answer honestly as we go through the course of this sermon. What I want you to think about now is Jesus' life. I want you to think about some Bible references to Him, some that are probably going to be, I know that, but maybe you think about it a little bit differently today. And the first point we're going to talk about today is this. Jesus is the author of life. He should be our life because Jesus is the author of life. Peter healed the lame man, right, in Acts chapter 3. He used that as an opportunity to preach. If you'll recall that there was a lot of commotion, there was a lot of excitement, there was a lot of frustration because of this miracle of this lame man in Acts 3. But when Peter is confronted and basically put on trial, he uses it as an opportunity to preach. He says in Acts 3:15, "You killed," and I like, this is the ESV, I believe, "You killed the author of life. But God raised Him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this." The reason I like that is because it's kind of an unusual phrase. Again, whatever word you have there all means the same thing. But here, in this version, saying He is the author of life, Peter uses this unusual phrase and he describes Jesus. When you see the word author, what do you think? Well, of course, you probably think of a writer. And you'd be right about that. You'd be correct about that. But what does a writer do? A writer takes a blank sheet of paper or a blank screen on a computer, but let's just pretend in a blank sheet of paper, and puts words on it. The author that writes a book or a novel or a screenplay or whatever it may be, they start with nothing and bring something from it. The author's words give life to the page. And that's exactly what Jesus' life has done. Jesus, the author of life, took nothing and gave it life. Being the author of life means life originated with Jesus Christ. He was there from the beginning. He created it alongside His Father. In fact, there is a reference to the Godhead there when they say to Jesus, part of the Godhead, "Let us make man in our own image. But then, of course, we have John's inspired words in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. Isn't it neat to think about now these two references? Peter references him in the book of Acts as the author of life. And here John records him as the Word. You see, you think today, Jesus, the reason we exist today, physically and spiritually, Jesus is the author and the Word. When a writer writes the words he chooses, a lot of times they are reflections of their life. They are reflections of their ideas, their life experiences. Jesus did that with us. He has put His very self into us. You see, that's why baptism is so essential. That's why when someone makes the decision to follow Jesus Christ, they've heard the Word, they believe the Word, they turn from their sins, they confess that He is the Son of God before men so that He will confess them before the Father, then they are immersed in water, contacting through God's help and guidance there. He contacts them with the life-saving, giving blood of Jesus Christ. And once I obey the gospel and I'm born again, I come up out of that grave to walk in newness of life, Jesus has imparted His life in me. Jesus, again, is the author of physical life and spiritual life. It's neat that the word author is only used two other times here in the New Testament, the Bible, and they're both in the book of Hebrews. And they both pertain to Jesus. In fact, in Hebrews 2, verse 10, the writer there called Jesus the author of our salvation. And then in Hebrews 12, 2, Jesus is called the author and perfecter of our faith. When a writer writes something, and you know, I wrote a book years ago, and it's not a very long book, but because I am who I am, I made a lot of mistakes. And so I paid somebody to edit that book. And, you know, there's still mistakes in it. Even the editor missed some, or the one who looked over it. But what you do is you read it, and you read it, and you read it, and you read it. You try to figure out. You get somebody else to read it. You try to get rid of all the mistakes. And sometimes when you do that, you rewrite something. You come up with a different idea, or you change it. The author will edit, polish all the purpose of making the rewrite much better than the original. Isn't that what the author, Jesus Christ, has done with us? In these three verses that reference Him as the author of life, the author of salvation, and the author and perfecter of our faith, what we see in that is this, that these words really literally mean author, and they all have the same Greek meaning. But two of those words and two of those references also mean originator and founder. There are two other words in the meaning as well, leader and ruler. So it makes sense when you put it all together that Jesus being the author means He's in control over what He decided to put down. Jesus is not only the originator of life, but He is also leader and ruler. I suppose that's why the word author is in the word authority. Because He has it all. Remember, all authority has been granted to Him. And because of that, He is not only originator, He is also leader, He is also ruler. Today, the question is He Lord of my life? Is Jesus Christ my life? The author of life, is He my life, or is He just a part of my life? Another reference I'd like to look at today, talking about Christ and talking about life, we see that Christ, He is who is our life. Christ, who is your life? Turn your Bible to Colossians 3, please. Let's read together verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Do you hear the last part of that? When Christ, who is your life? Paul says, in order to have Christ be a part of our life, we must set our mind on things above. You see, this earth is filled with a lot of garbage. Garbage produces garbage. Paul said, evil companionship corrupts good morals. So the more we hang around garbage, the more garbage-like we become. That's why we can't set our mind on things on this earth. They must be set on things above, where Christ, the author of life, resides. So if Christ is going to be our life, Christ who is your life, then we got to set our mind and hearts on things above. So what does that imply? You make deductive reasoning here when he says, set your mind, that our hearts are not going to automatically set on spiritual things. We got to set them there ourselves. I mean, isn't that what the Bible teaches us? Paul said in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He also says in that same chapter, it's a reference to another verse, Old Testament, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all going to eventually fall to the ways of the world. So we have to make a decision. It's just not going to automatically, even after I become a child of God and Christ becomes my life, I can't just cruise. I can't just coast in life spiritually. I've got to make decisions every single day. That's why I must take up my cross daily and follow Him. If we're not inclined to do that, or we're having a hard time setting our 100% mind on spiritual things, then we better pray about that. We better change that. We better get right with that, because it is not an option. It is a command. Romans 8, verses 8 through 10. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Paul also said in Colossians 3 that our life is now hidden in Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thought? You know, If you think about it, I don't want God seeing this life. I want Him seeing Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus being our mediator, Jesus being our life, Jesus Christ who is our life, if we allow Him in, not just part-time, but all the time, then God doesn't look at us and see our sinful nature. He sees Jesus Christ. Because our lives are hidden in Him. He is the one who is seen. Since we have been raised with Christ, our eternal soul is hidden with Christ. It's connected to Him. It is dependent on His sacrifice that happened at Calvary on behalf of our souls. But here's another beautiful thought. As Christ is seated in the heavenly realms at the right hand of the Father, we're seated in those heavenly realms as well. If Christ is our life. Ephesians 2:4-6. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. When our lives are hidden in Christ, no one can change that. Now, we can. We can step aside. We can make Him part-time. He's not our life anymore. He's just part of our life. If that's the case, then yeah, Satan's going to have a field day with that. But Satan himself, if I am hidden with Christ, cannot snatch me from my Father's hand, nor the life of Christ. That's why He must be all of us. He can't just be part of us. Satan's going to work real hard to get us to leave Jesus. But we can't let that happen. And it will never, ever happen if Jesus is our life. So, Jesus, He is the author of life. Jesus, who needs to be in our life. It leaves us one last thought, and this one depends on us. What is the life that I now live? Paul said in Galatians 2:20 that Bo read to us earlier, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I mean, who better to say it than Paul? Paul was 100% against Christianity. But he saw the light. He was baptized into Christ. And when he was baptized into Christ, he was crucified with Christ. But you see, he was still alive. But he wasn't alive in the flesh. Now, he was alive in the flesh, but the fleshly side of him had died because now Christ lived in his life. So Paul said there in Galatians 2:20, as he talks about being crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. When he says that, what he is saying is, my life is hidden with Him. Jesus is my life. Christ is my life. The author of my life, I also want to be the finisher, the perfecter of my life. It's important to note here, Paul didn't just go everywhere. I mean, he did evangelize, but he didn't get out in the parking lot somewhere on a microphone and just shout, Jesus, right? That's not what he did. He lived his life. He was a tent maker. He had a job. Yes, he went on missionary journeys and he did all these great things, but he had to make some money if the congregations couldn't support him, so he was a tent maker. He had a job. He was that and an evangelist and a missionary and all those things. The point behind that is that's how we should be. When Jesus is our life, you don't have to be a preacher. But you got to be an evangelist. You see, everybody has jobs. Everybody has hobbies. Everybody has interests. But the real test today is this. If Jesus is my life, are we focused on how we can use these things to the glory of God? In my job, do I look who I might be able to build a relationship with so I can eventually share the gospel with them? What about the different maybe clubs or gyms or whatever we join, the social media we use, are we using it to try to lead others to Christ? Maybe some play a sport. Yeah, maybe, again, we got a lot of little ones that play them, but the teenagers, they get up and they're involved in sports and these activities. Are we thinking about how we can introduce our teammates to Jesus? Being crucified with Christ and living our life by faith means we are doing all things with the mind and heart of Jesus Christ attached to it. We work. We do many things outside of spiritual activities. But we must look to make all our activities into spiritual opportunities in one way or another if Jesus is our life. Why? Because Jesus gave Himself for me. You make it personal. He gave Himself for me. Not just to redeem me, but to use me for His purposes, with the gifts He has given me and the platform He has given me to use those gifts. Jesus is the author of life. Jesus should be our life. Not part of our life, but all of our life. Then we should take that life and live it to the glory of God. So the question is that you today? Is Jesus your life today, or is He just part of your life today? Well, let me encourage you this. If He is not our everything, if He is not our Lord, remember, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. If He is not Lord, if He is not our everything, if He is not our life, then we need to change it. Steve is going to lead us in a song in just a moment where we have that opportunity. The opportunity to surrender our lives to Him for the first time, as we talked about baptism earlier. Or maybe to say, hey, I'm tired of Jesus being part-time and the world being part-time in my life. I want Jesus full-time. I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to make Christ my life. If you have a need, won't you respond right now as together we stand and sing.